This is now our 14th visit to the book of Ephesians. We've been strolling through this together for the past few months. Wonderful things that God is reminding us of. It's no accident that we're walking through this at this time. No accident. God has a purpose and a plan. I was talking this morning in the prayer room. You know, God doesn't do anything just for the whoopee. He never does anything just to draw attention and say, look what I can do. Every sign, every wonder, every word is for a purpose and a reason. God has no intention of puffing us up with pride. But He continually tells us who we are in Him so that we can deal with this world. Because without Him, we're sunk. And we realize the longer we walk with Him, how difficult it is to maneuver through this world. We're beset on every side. You know, we could succumb to the fear that's gripping. It's amazing to me the fear that's gripping the United States. Just heard yesterday, my mother-in-law loves Fox News. Loves Fox News. That's all she ever watches, 24/7 Fox News. And so I was sitting, and I heard where Trump has just okayed 300 million masks to be made so that everybody in the United States can be covered should this become a pandemic. But I heard the fear behind that. How many know? Not only is the United States fearful, all over the world right now. India's Vice President or Prime Minister fell ill with coronavirus. And the Pope got sick. They figured maybe he had coronavirus. I'm not sure. They're saying no, but there's fear gripping all over the place. And we need to stand. See, you and I. So this trip through Ephesians, God is telling us who we are. We don't have to succumb to the elements of this world. We don't have to be gripped with fear. As so often is said, we read the last page. No matter what happens, it's a win-win situation. If we die now, we go to heaven. If we die 10 years from now, we go to heaven. If we never die and Jesus comes, we still go to heaven. Heaven and earth will be together. Amen. Jesus will rule for 1,000 years. And I love to see that. Forget electric cars and coal, you know. God's gonna show us how it's done. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to go through 12 through 15 in your notes there that you've been handed. So let's read Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I was remembering just a few years ago, Nancy Clark, most of you know Nancy and Jeff. I'll be leaving right after church, so if I don't say goodbye and I'm rushing out the door, it's because I got an 8.5-hour drive. I want to drive over to Rochester tomorrow. We're going to celebrate the homecoming of George Veach, Nancy's father. I think he was 94, 95, right around there. And he was a man that was a real prophet. Danny was talking about Bob Jones, George Veach. He was the kind of guy, when you sit down with a cup of coffee with him, you better have your heart right. Because after a while in our conversation, he would say, I'm picking up something. Would you like to talk to me about it? And if you didn't talk to him and he had to pry it out of you, he's going to have word of knowledge, word of wisdom to help you with that, to grease the wheels to get it out of you. A real man of God, a real prophet, was a... missionary to South America for years, I think about 30 years, served in a mission field, and was just a man of God, man of God. And so a great loss for us, a great gain for heaven. He suffered with Alzheimer's towards the end. Nancy and Jeff texted me on Wednesday. He said, George just stepped into eternity face to face with Jesus, 12:57 p.m. on Wednesday. So, and I'll get to see people I haven't seen in 20, 25 years. So it's going to be a great time of celebration of George's homecoming. But he talked about having boldness and confidence in Christ. He was the kind of guy that would look you right in the eye and always have a purpose for his conversation. He wasn't much to dilly-dally around nonsensical things. Everything meant something when he spoke. And so I think that probably as the body of Christ, I think God is speaking in this hour for us to be purpose our statements, purpose our actions, because there's not much time left. Did you hear what I'm saying? Not much time left for silliness. The world is gripped right now with silliness, especially the younger generation. They're gripped with, I just read a statistic a while back where the 30-somethings spend anywhere from 2 to 5 hours on YouTube a day watching little films, you know, watching little videos, whatever they are. But here the scripture tells us that we have boldness and access with confidence. Where do we have the boldness? It's a purpose. We're commissioned to be the representatives of the rule of the kingdom of God. God is not going to give that job to anyone else but us. It's not something that's going to be farmed out. There's nothing we can apply, somebody can apply for. If you are a believer, we're commissioned to be his representatives of his rule and his reign in the kingdom of God here and now. Amen. Jesus said that to his disciples in Acts 1:8. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So God's purpose was that we'd have boldness in him. We talked about that this morning, doing the outreach and talking to somebody, talking to coworkers. We heard that in the prophetic. We're not willing to talk to people because we're a little bit afraid. Afraid of what? You know, our speaking to somebody may be the difference in where they're going for an eternity. See, because we don't know. None of us, we're talking early this morning about the exit door. All of us, there's only one way to get off the mud ball, and that's to die. So we don't have any guarantee when that's going to be. So we've got to speak. Paul is getting ready to pray a tremendous prayer here later on in this chapter about us knowing the height and the depth and the width and the breadth, the love of Jesus Christ, which passes knowledge. And so during this prayer, in the workup to this prayer, he's talking about boldness, and I believe that's purpose. Acts 13:47 says, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. God's commissioned his church. He's commissioned New Life in this area to do those things. When we do not stand in the authority God's given us, we lose our purpose. We become religious. We just do things because it's the American thing to do, or it's the Rochester thing to do. Sunday morning, go to church. Sunday afternoon, we forget our purpose. But we're purpose 24/7. God doesn't give us a break on that. There is no vacation in the kingdom of God. There's a mandate when it comes to God's children ruling. We are not supposed to follow, we're supposed to lead. Amen. Look at somebody and say, he's talking to you. See, we're not following somebody, we're leading if we have the Spirit of God in us. We're picked to be leaders, not because of who we are, but because of the Christ that is in us. We lead boldness. You see, we have boldness before him. With heaven behind us, we're guaranteed victory. We can't lose. And we have this mandate that's a very serious mandate in us, because when we speak the word of the Lord, somebody may say no to us. And they've sealed their fate. Come on, someone. It's not always going to be roses. It's going to be somebody refusing. But that's not up to us. That's between them and the Lord. But we are to be the people that rule and reign. We've often talked about it, Terry and I. There's peace in our house because we don't allow anything else. The minute we lose peace, we take authority. Right now, we want that peace back in our home. How much more for the community? How much more for Rochester? How much more for Fulton County, Cass County? Come on, Stark County. We begin to declare these things. Why? Because we rule and reign and have boldness in God. It's not us. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to make Jesus famous. See? Boldness. And then he talks about access, which is position. So we have access. We're always before the throne of God. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Not only do we have boldness to talk to the world, but we have access because our position is in Christ. We're always connected to him. We can always hear his voice. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. We are always connected to him and always can hear his voice. If we don't hear his voice, heaven's not the problem. We're the problem. See, God gave us access to him. We're his children. We have audience with God 24/7. All our needs are met in Christ. Talk about being in Christ. That's our position. And positionally, we're victorious. Not only do we have boldness and access, but we have confidence. It's unnerving to get around some people that are just confident of who they are. There's no holding back with them. When you meet them, you know the kind of personality I'm talking about. You meet them. See? And that's the kind of people we need to be. We need to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be people that use that authority and access and confidence to change the world. Because if all we ever do is brag around each other, what have we done? We've made a religious club that we want people to be a part of, and they can't really be a part of it until they become part of the club, but we're looking for somebody else to get them as part of the club. Come on, someone. We walk around like we've got a secret, see? Title of the message this morning is No More Mystery. Because we make this thing ooey-ooey, like, oh, God's only to be known by a select few. No, God made himself known through Jesus Christ. There are no more secrets. Come on, somebody. He'll reveal his mystery to anybody that's saved. Once you're saved, the mystery is gone. The veil is rent. We see him face to face. There's no more mystery. We're his children. We're confident. Hebrews 3:14 says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We are partakers of Christ, can you imagine? 1 John 3:21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." We have confidence toward God and with man. I did a little faith thing there. F being facing obstacles. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing obstacles in my way. Fear, distracted, sin, whatever it is. I want to move every obstacle out of my way. Because God intended me to walk free. By golly, I'm going to be free. Come on, someone. I'm waging war against a couple things now in my life. It's that I'm not wanted anymore, see? I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. See, we got to get mad at the right things. We're good at passing the buck. We got PhDs in passing the buck. It's somebody else's fault. It's my family, or it's my community, or it's the IRS this time of year. It's the IRS. I'd have much more money if the IRS didn't take my money. Learn to live within your means. Come on, someone. So we face the obstacles and remove them. A is advancing the kingdom. There's no other thing that we're supposed to do but advance the kingdom. That's our job. That's our major, that's our primary duty, is to advance the kingdom. What's it mean to advance the kingdom? It means to tell the truth. It means to tell the truth in love. I get weary of people saying, well, you have no right to say that because that's not the truth. No, I stand on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you in love, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Advancing His kingdom. I is instituting the Word. Put the Word, employ the Word in your life. If you're having difficulty, it's because you've not employed your Word. Employ the Word in your life. Somebody said Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on, I'm healed. 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling. Advance the kingdom by instituting the Word. Institute the Word in your life and then be thankful. Kingdom of God is the only place you say thank you before you receive. Some useless bit of information that might be good to you is tips. You know, when you tip the waitress, it used to mean in England to ensure proper service. So you actually tipped the waiter or waitress before they waited on you. You were thanking them for their labor that you were about to employ to bring your food. That's the kingdom of God. We thank God before the answer comes. We thank God before the answer comes. Here we're supposed, we even forget to say thank you after the answer comes. And H, of course, is holding to His promises. I'm going to believe God. I don't care what happens. See, I'm going to believe till it's manifest. I'm thanking Him and then waiting on Him to manifest His promises in my life. And you know what? Faith has a face. It's Jesus Christ. See, I don't have faith in faith. Faith in faith is ridiculous. Anybody can have faith in faith. Tony Robbins has faith in faith. How many know the motivational speaker, Tony Robbins? But he said, oh, yeah, he's Christian. No, he's not a Christian. Not as far as I know. You know, few people don't remember that about 10 years ago he was sued because he had people walking over hot coals. And several of them burned their feet so bad that they sued him, and he just about lost everything. He's back now in a recreated form. Anyway, I don't want to go there. Faith in Jesus. Faith is not in faith, positive thinking. Come on, someone. We may get temporal blessings, but we're talking about eternal blessings in Jesus Christ. He's accomplished it, everything. In verse 11, we just talked about that last week. It's accomplished in Jesus Christ. We are moving with the head. Anytime the body moves without the head, it's called dysfunction. If my hand just does things on its own, it's not going to get along with the rest of the body. Come on, somebody. I thought about a joke, but I'll just swallow that. No, it really is not a good joke. Right? We're moving with the head. That's who we have faith in. Jesus tells us to do it, we do it. Come on, somebody. We can do nothing without Him. When are we going to get through our thick skulls? I don't know about you, but that's the hardest thing for me to learn. I've known God a long time, but I'd try to do it on my own. God, I got this. I want your pat on my back. He's not wanting to pat us on the back. He's wanting to go before us. He does it all for us, through us. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me, stays in me, watches with me, walks with me, talks with me, and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's pretty plain. I looked at it, and in every version, it says the same thing. You know, I thought maybe in a different version it says you can do almost nothing. Or you can do some things. No, in every version it's the same. It's plain. Without me, you're zero with the rim kicked off. And with me, you're zero with the rim kicked off. It's all me. See? Paul goes on to pray here. He says, therefore I ask that you not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, Paul understood that he was to give his life for the church, for the body of Christ. Matter of fact, when Ananias laid hands on him, God told Ananias to go. Jesus said, go lay hands on Paul, for he must know the things he must suffer for me. And we like to categorize those things. We like to say, well, it's Paul that suffered. I'm not going to have to suffer. I got news for you. Dying to self is suffering. And we're not living our lives for us. It's so much insight. Again, I heard somebody say, the reason why, I don't know if you heard, but Bernie Sanders is leading the ticket, Democratic side, socialism. And the bulk of people surrounding him are young people. And somebody had great insight that I saw the other day. They said, what's happening is our generation, our parents gave us everything we wanted. We didn't have to work for anything. If we wanted something, your birthday's coming up, you can have it. Christmas coming up, I'll get it for you. Give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. So now somebody for the government saying, you don't have to worry about it. I'll give you free education, free health, free everything. They say, well, that sounds like the way I was raised. Of course, that's who I want. You're going to continue giving me. I don't have to put anything into it. Come on, somebody. How many remember when your parents told you, you want it? Go work for it. Yeah. Knowing, therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5:11, there on the left-hand side, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. Paul goes on to say in that same passage about what he suffered, and he says here, I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations. And something is being birthed in our generation, but it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take fasting and crying out to God. It's going to take being unpopular. It's going to take being the few that stand and say, I don't care what everybody else says. I'm standing on God's word. 47% of mainline denomination pastors, 47% now believe it's okay to kill your baby and marry your partner. Male, female, doesn't matter. 47%. It's swiftly happening, folks. And the tribulation is going to be something that we have to endure. I'd like to say something else. But God gives joy in tribulation. Now, He gives joy. The Holy Spirit's there. Paul and Silas in prison, they were beaten. And what were they doing? Singing. Read it. Read your Bible. They were singing and rejoicing for being beat. One of the greatest miracles in the New Testament happened. You know that story. Philippian jailer came, wanted to kill himself. Paul says, no, we're alive. You're okay. Him and his household were saved and baptized. Open up the whole area of Philippi to the gospel of Jesus Christ because somebody was beat to within inches of their life. Come on, someone. Paul sacrificed, and it's a clarion call for us today to live a life of sacrifice. Not about us. It's not about what we can get. God said, I'll sustain your life. I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about poverty or sickness or pestilence. We talked about all that. We just made confessions about that. But we are still going to have to sacrifice. Jesus said, if you want to be a leader, serve everybody. If you want to be my disciple, die to yourself daily. There's no other way to put that. Selfishness is one of the most terrible sins in the body of Christ. And when parts of our body get selfish without other parts agreeing with it, what do we call that? Dysfunction. Come on, somebody. We are called the body of Christ. Our body's moving together with the head. And somebody says, well, what I do doesn't affect anybody else. Yes, it does. It does. Maybe not right now, maybe what you can't see, but in the spirit world, it does. It affects. It weakens our resolve. It weakens what the body does, and the head is trying to get us antibiotics sent into the body to cleanse us so that we're healed, just like our body recovers. God is trying to recover from the head. Paul's sacrifice is a clarion call. It involves death to self. Right here in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What's it mean to deny yourself? Deny yourself. What's it mean in the Greek? Deny yourself. What's it mean in Chinese? Deny yourself. That means put yourself last and everybody else ahead of you. Well, who's going to take care of me? God already promised He'd take care of you. See, now you're questioning God. Well, if I put somebody else first, what happens to me? Now you're questioning God. You're not arguing with me. You're questioning what the Word of God says. I'll take care of you. Whatever you pray, I'll take care of you. It's dying to self. And that's where we separate. The second mile is not crowded. We've got to go that extra oomph if we're going to see it happen in our generation. If not, we'll kick the can down the road, and Lord knows what's going to happen. This dying to self is foreign to many. It's a concept that they don't get. And it's a vital need in the church. It's a vital need. It's a vital need to die to our needs and ourself. That's what's going to win the world. The world says, those are people that care more about me than I care about myself. And they care about me more than they care about them. I want to be part of that. Come on, somebody. Owning the struggle, birthing new believers, counting the cost. That's what Paul says. Paul is saying, I don't want you to lose heart, man. I'm about to pray a tremendous prayer. In verse 14, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees. For what reason? For his tribulations, for them. I bow my knees because I've resolved in my life to be a servant to you. I'm going to pray a prayer that's absolutely going to blow your mind. It's just that you might know. We're going to talk about that in the next couple weeks. That you might know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you might know the height and the depth and the length and the width and the breadth of the love of Almighty God. That's what I'm about to pray. Because I've tribulated. Because I've died to myself. Because I'm serving you. This is what I'm about to pray for you. Why? For your glory. Paul sets the example by going all out for the kingdom of God. In another part of the scripture, he says, I wish that my name be taken out of the book of life, that my brethren might be saved. Can you imagine that kind of, that depth of love? Saying, I'd rather go to hell than see my brothers and sisters die without Christ. I don't know about you, I can't fathom that depth of love, that self-sacrifice that says, I don't care what happens to me, just so you get to go to heaven. And it's that kind of love that absolutely heaven is begging to see on this earth. And it happens so few times. And when it does, revival breaks out. Communities change. But it's the death to self that we've got to do. See, we reap the benefits of sacrifice. The body will multiply as we serve others. Sure, there's a price to pay. This has nothing to do with salvation, justification, sanctification, which is a work of God. This has to, we're not giving up anything. We're not going to lose ground in anything. As a matter of fact, the more that we die to ourselves, the benefits become even greater in our lives. Come on, somebody. And I pray that it comes back to the body. When I read about those that sacrificed their lives, when I read about the Inquisition in Europe years ago, I'm astounded when I read things about people actually hugging the post that they were about, the stake that they were about to be burned on, hugging it and kissing it and say, coming, I'm being married to Jesus today. I don't know that kind of depth of love. Come on, someone. But it absolutely has to come back to this generation. There's no new way. It's still the way of sacrifice and death to self. There's no, God hasn't coming up with something new. Now that we're in the 21st century, you no longer need to die to yourself. Forget that. That's old religious stuff. Come on, somebody. And we have such a weakness in the body of Christ, especially in America. We've got to have gimmicks. Come on. In by 11, out by 12. Cup of coffee, couple songs. We got gimmicks. Come on. We don't need gimmicks. We need to stand on God's word. Paul is saying to us, boldness and access with confidence. But what are we representing? We're not representing a religious movement. We're representing Jesus Christ. We're part of His body. There's no other glory that will come with that, but that of Jesus. Our life benefits everyone else. The benefit that we have is serving Christ. Paul's prayer, he says, for this reason. Woo-hoo. Love that. For this reason. For what reason? My tribulation, my dying. He says, for this reason. Because God has allowed me to die to myself. Because God has allowed me to serve you. I pray. See? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's prayer is that his brethren experience Christ in His fullness. No man can fulfill what Jesus did. No man reveals God as Christ does. No man has a capacity for love like Jesus. Am I the only one that ever said, God, I've just had it. I can't love that person anymore. And you begin to pray for him and more love pours in. Jesus loves him so much. Am I the only one? Come on, somebody, show me your hand. You pray for somebody and you say, man, if I had a baseball bat, and God just says, I love them. I died for them. The love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. We don't understand it. It benefits Jesus and it benefits that person that's about ready to get saved. Even when we're on our last leg. See? Paul's prayer is that we would experience Christ in His love, the love of Christ. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to experience the love of Christ for me. He's going to love me more. All the songs that we hear these days, touch me, let me sit on your lap, let's take a walk, rub my back. No, it's the love of Christ for the world. It's the love of Christ for the darkness. It's the love of Christ, if you can believe it, for the Democratic Party in the United States. Can you believe he loves them? The love of Christ which passes knowledge. God, how could you love those people? They hate you. They talk against you. They kill babies. No, he loves them. He says, I'm not going to come down and do it myself. I'm going to activate my body to react to the head and love people like I love them. See? No man has a capacity for love like Jesus Christ. Jesus loved them. Even while we were yet sinners, he loved us. Paul's prayer is to the Father. See, this is something that's overlooked. I want to spend just a minute on. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray, activate your prayer to the Father through Jesus. It may seem like splitting hairs, but we're not asking Jesus. We adore, we worship, we honor, we praise Jesus. He's the head. He's forever making intercession before the throne. What's he praying before the throne for? Because it's the Father that's the source of all answers to prayer. The Father is the source to all answers of prayer. That's the way the Godhead set it up. So we go before the Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We don't pray to Jesus. This may seem like splitting hairs, but Paul says very emphatically here and many other places in the Scriptures, I bow my knees to the Father. We take our petitions to the Father. Provision comes through Jesus Christ. Answers come through the Father. Access comes through Christ. His authority is our password. I come in the name of Jesus. That activates heaven. Come in Jesus' name. Okay, all of heaven now is listening, leaning towards your prayer. Because you've prayed in the name of Jesus. After his design, after his purpose, the way he purposed us to be as his children. You activate prayer through Jesus Christ. Heaven is going to hear you and answer your prayer. We lose heart too easily. And we end up being a bunch of people looking for the next bus out. Sitting at the bus stop waiting for Christ to take us to heaven. Come on, Jesus, rescue us. He's looking for a church to rule and to reign here. Oh, for that glorious day. I was thinking about George Veach, now standing before the throne. He made it. He's up there cheering us on. Can't wait till that day. But until that day, there's a lot of work to do. He'd be the first to say it. Be the first to say it. Everything about that man was genuine. He was a mentor to me. Genuine. Come on, someone. We need that back. The genuine faith of Jesus Christ in our lives. Come on, somebody. It's not too late. It's not too late to turn our lives around. Say, God, I'm going to live the rest of my life from this day forward. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to have my own will anymore. I'm going to do your will. It can happen right from this point. Forget what happened yesterday. So who cares about what happened yesterday? Round and round and round we go. No, the Word of God, the kingdom of God is in a linear design. It's moving from the past to the present, to the future. We're always moving ahead, forgetting what is behind. It's not an excuse. People say, well, you use an excuse. Look what happened back there. No, I'm just being practical. I can't get back there to correct that. I can't do that. So you beat yourself up about yesterday. I'm going to move on. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. Come on, someone. So over and over and over and over again in the book of Ephesians, Paul is telling us who we are. Now, we're about to get into a prayer that God has favored Paul with praying that we might know the hope of our calling. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Somebody said you could pick your nose, you could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Come on, somebody. Anybody else ever been to a family reunion and say, thank God they live in another state? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. God, thank God they don't live near me. It's just, oh God, can you believe I'm related to that person? Am I the only one? Come on. Be honest. The family in heaven and earth. God's building a family. And we're knit to them. They're not separate from us. As a matter of fact, Hebrews says they surround us, a great cloud of witnesses. George Veach here today going, yeah. And we're knit together. We're related. We're brothers and sisters. And my friend, we need more of that than we need anything else. My friend, we need that today in the church. The church has got to come together. Our brothers and sisters that have crossed over to that worldly side, they're not gone. They're still breathing in and out. We write off denominations. I don't believe God's in a denomination. He's never been a part of a denomination. Right. I'm part of the body of Christ.
Right.
But still, those denominations could repent and come back.
Yeah.
It's not over until it's over. The people within those denominations repent and come back because they're family. Unless they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they're forgiven. Come on, someone. Repentance is a good thing. The body of Christ is one, both in heaven and on earth. They're not separate from us. They're still with us. That's part of the seeing. That's part of seeing the unseen, hearing the unhearing, the unspoken. They're with us. We are inextricably linked to all believers, living and dead. Because they're not really dead. They're alive. They're alive. We don't get to see them right now, but we're going to be reunited soon. And what a family reunion that'll be. Can you believe I'm actually related to... Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. And here... Paul's about ready. Now, the next couple weeks, I want you to pray and study. We spent about 6 months praying these prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians 3. And I want you to study this prayer of Paul's going forward because we're going to talk about the veracity, the strength of that prayer. We need to be praying that over each other, that you together with me might know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Because that's really the key. Jesus made it the key when he said, the greatest commandments, love me and love your neighbor. Forget all about that other stuff, adultery and things and covetousness. And all those hang on these two things. Love me and love your neighbor. Come on, someone. So these questions, what do you think? Explain rule and authority. What's rule and authority mean? What's it mean to have rule and have authority?
We have discipline in your life.
Discipline in our life. Dominion. What's that mean, dominion?
That you rule over, you have authority over.
Rule and authority. Someone else, what's rule and authority mean?
You're the big dog that when what you say is the way it is.
Say it again. That last part.
You're the big dog. What you say is the way it is.
Come on, somebody. That's a good answer. Come on. What you say is what it is. Something plaguing you, I say, no more. He says, I can't control my language. No more. I take authority over my tongue. Somebody says, I can't control my anger. No more. I take authority over my anger. Yeah. I can't stay away from lust. No more. I'm not going to have lust in my life. Come on, someone. Yeah. That's rule and authority. How can we be more confident in Christ?
Read the Word.
Read the Word. How can we have more authority and confidence in authority in Christ?
Recognize His promises to us.
Yeah. Louder.
Recognize His promises to us. Promise is only as good as the person who's making it. And think about who that is.
Wow.
What did you just say?
The promise is only as good as the person who makes it. And think about who that is that's making that promise to us.
That'd give you a swagger, won't it? Jesus promised me. Praise God, I love it. Do you think tribulations are necessary?
Yes.
Why are tribulations necessary?
Tribulations work with patience. Tribulation work with patience.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
And when I went through tribulations, my growth in God has got stronger because I trust Him to get me through them.
Yeah,
it's true. It's where we learn.
Absolutely.
We learn in tribulation.
It gives us compassion too.
Yes.
Your faith grows.
Faith grows.
Yeah.
But how many given tribulation or blessing would take the blessing? Come on, someone. Be honest. God says, okay, A, tribulation, B, blessing. Let me think. Blessing. But we're saying that it's the way to comfort and peace and growth, but yet, given the choice, we need to embrace the tribulation. I was thinking about this verse when I was on the elliptical the other day, doing an hour on the elliptical. About halfway through it, I'm going, yeah, this is tough. But I know if I need to get my body back to where it should be, I got to work through the tribulation. I like to just wake up and be in shape again, but I don't think that happens, unless it's on TV at one of those infomercials. Take this pill and eat whatever you want, and you'll be thin. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Somebody give an example of experiencing Christ's fullness. What does it mean to experience Christ's fullness? How's that happen in your life, to have the fullness of Christ working in you? Don't be shy.
We have peace.
Peace in the fullness of Christ.
When peace washes over you when you're in a difficult situation, that's the fullness of Christ.
Fullness of Christ brings peace in a bad situation. Good stuff.
When we grasp the promise and who made it, that brings us into experiencing His fullness.
You make the right choices.
Make the right choices. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. Someone else. Experiencing Christ's fullness.
When you walk out your faith in the Lord, an example that comes to my mind is several years ago, we were going through a real rough, real tough economic time, and we decided that we were going to go ahead and tithe, even though we didn't really have the money to tithe. And the very next day, we got a check in the mail that we weren't expecting, and it's like God basically said, I told you so.
You're working.
Amen.
That's something on the line of what he just said about answered prayers. Your prayers are answered. You see the fullness of Christ, you experience it.
Yeah. Yeah, neat stuff. Prayers actually get answered. You go, wow, it works. It works.
Back to giving an example of experiences of Christ in fullness. I'm reminded of what Christ said before he gave up his life. He told them, the Son of Man is going to die, he's going to suffer. And we have to look through death to see what real love is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a full example of experiencing in Christ.
Amen. Look it through death to experience joy. Yeah. If you could give advice to one thing you think that the body of Christ needs, the needed provision for us today, what would be the thing that we need more than anything else?
Love.
Love. You hear that? It's an easy answer. We need to love again. I'm asking the Lord to break my heart with what breaks His again. To love people. Terry and I spent, I love it when we travel together. Terry and I traveled 8 hours back yesterday from her mom's. We have these long, deep conversations. And you can't escape each other, so you just go deeper and deeper. And really, we were, yes, I mean, good stuff. And so we were talking about loving people and understanding where they're coming from. You know, a lot of times we get frustrated with somebody. Just ask the Lord to imagine walking in their shoes. Imagine what they had to face to cope with life. And it breaks your heart. You begin to understand that most people are just trying to make it. And our love for them can expedite that. They can get through whatever they're going to get through. Amen. Because we love them. Sometimes we make it tough. Come on, somebody. But we're going to love them through it. Man, that's a good answer. Dionne Warwick was pretty close when she said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Of course, she was talking about a different kind of love. I'm talking about the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Thank God for that. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord, what good answers, what good conversation this morning. What a service that you've reminded us, Lord, that we should not be afraid to talk about you in the midst of our world that we live in. And God, that you've poured out your love on us more than we could ever hope or imagine. Lord, we pray, God, for this to take a shaking in our hearts, oh God, that we might shake loose of anything the world has given us, Father, and look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we resolve today, from this point forward, forgetting those things that are right behind us. Lord, from this point forward, we're going to endeavor to love as you love. We're going to endeavor to hear from the head. We're not going to go off twitching, doing our own thing. The body of Christ needs to be seen as someone that is resolved to follow the head. Lord, that the world would not look at us as being distorted, but moving in you, reflecting your glory. God, I pray that. Father, we today make that commitment that from here forward, we're going to walk in obedience to you, obeying the head, even as you've challenged us in this part of Scripture. Father, give it to us. Lord, we made a proclamation before we read that we would never be the same. So that's what we claim today, yes. Moving forward as different people than came here this morning. And we'll not forget to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for answered prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.